everyone, and welcome to Thrifters Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela.
And I'm Lori, and I am crashing yet another coffee talk.
I like it when you crash the coffee talks, Lori, especially one that has two of our favorite resellers on it.
Introducing Jack and Ryan.
Hi.
They really don't need an introduction, but I suppose for audio they do.
It's so true. So I am so excited that we are finally able to find a time to sit down and talk to these two resellers that the community adores.
I am too, and I'm so happy to be here. So let's get to it.
Hi, boys.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
How are you? How about you?
Good. Thank you so much for being on Thrifters Villa.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, we've been trying to do this for like a month, and we finally found time.
I know. I was just telling Ryan about that. We were gonna do like a real episode a long time ago, and it was during like some maybe like December, so we were like super busy or something. Mm-hmm. So then it's been pushed off and off and off.
I know. December's always wild.
I know.
And then, I believe that it's almost November in general.
Oh my gosh!
I know. My birthday's on the 6th, and I'm like, oh my god, we're only 2 weeks away.
Happy early birthday!
I'll be
Ryan, 21. How old are you gonna be?
22. I know.
He's on to the boring.
I was like, I've been drinking for a year.
I've been drinking for a year.
Just 1 year.
So I know a lot of people know you guys, right? I mean, if you're a reseller, you know who Jack and Ryan is. But there's some people listening that might not know who you are. It is possible. So why don't you guys each take some time, introduce yourselves, and how you kind of get into reselling?
Okay, you're the oldest, so you go first.
You're the oldest.
So my name's Jack, and currently I am a full-time Poshmark reseller. I do use other platforms, but not a ton. I use The RealReal a lot more than I use like eBay or Mercari. So I count my main platforms and main income as The RealReal and Poshmark. I started reselling when I was in college, which now is like a year and a half, 2 years ago? Yeah, which it doesn't feel that long ago, but apparently.
That's my fast.
Ryan is the one that introduced me to Poshmark. Before that, I was like off and on reselling some electronics on eBay. I was buying them and like flipping them. And then he introduced me to clothes. And that's how I got where I am in reselling.
I will never forget. He texted me. He went to the Goodwill and found a Marc Jacobs purse and was like, is this a good brand? And I was like, you're kidding. Your first time going to Goodwill and you find this new Marc Jacobs purse. I was so mad.
Jack, to find a man.
I know. The person who finds a designer. I was like, we'll set the stage for the rest of your reselling career.
Yeah.
Right.
So my little introduction, I'm Ryan. I got started, I used to work at a buy-sell trade store when I was a teenager. And it got to the point where I was like, I can do this myself. Because I was a buyer. So I was like the teenager that goes through all your stuff and sends you back your garbage bag full of stuff and takes your two things.
Then I swear at you under my breath.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
We need to talk about this. Yeah. Because Laura and I were just talking about like, it is such a waste of time for us to go there. We're just going to set it right up.
Yeah.
It. I am going to say, because I don't work there anymore, it 100% is. It is definitely like a buyer's like advantage to go to these places. Yeah. You make no money if you're a seller. And like, I get if you're just like, you really want to get some stuff out, like you don't want to deal with like the hassle of like sending it somewhere, doing anything like that, but you make no money.
Right.
Like, and a lot of the people pay retail for this stuff. So it's like, you pay all this money for this like stuff and then you make nothing on it. So it got to the point where I was like, well, I have all these brands. I know what sells really well. I know how to price things so I can sell them pretty quick and I know how to make money. So I'll do it myself. And I went to their clearance. I got every single pair of like dollar Miss Me jeans and I sold them on Poshmark. That's how I got started. And
that is so smart.
I'm currently
with all that knowledge now that you can take with you into the world.
I wish that I could still sell Miss Me jeans for 50, 60 bucks.
Oh yeah.
The good old days. I'm full-time along with being a student. I go to school full-time and do Poshmark full-time. So I wear a lot of different hats. I love it. It's so much fun.
So were either one of you like marketing or fashion retail majors in college? Is this in line with your major?
Well, I was an accounting major. And of course, with accounting, I took marketing classes. I took management classes. I took like every single business category under the sun. And so I like to think that I do have a pretty like well-rounded knowledge base on like running a business or starting a business. Like I can do my own taxes, which is nice.
Yeah, you know a lot about the back end, which benefits me because I never have to pay for an accountant.
Right?
It's like Ryan, I am you in the relationship. I married an accountant and he tells me I am an accountant's nightmare.
One of the perks. I love it.
Honestly, like I don't think I could do my business without him.
No, I couldn't either. I don't know how to do it.
I feel you. I feel you.
My big strength is I am going to be an art teacher. So I'm creative and fun.
That is so exciting. I love it.
So my take from it is I have a wonderful personality that translates very well.
You do.
I love it.
So what grades do you want to teach, Ryan? Or are you going to be like throughout K through 21 kind of thing?
So luckily in Iowa, I'll get licensed to K-12. Which is a blessing because I'm not limited by, you know, I get an elementary, middle, high school, but I'd love to do middle high school just because it's a little bit more advanced and I love working with younger kids. They're so fun and they're so sweet. But it's just like my personal skill set, I think, lines up better with like kids that already kind of like know what they like to draw and like know like a painting style that they kind of resonate with. So I think that is kind of where I would like to end up at some point.
Which is so weird because I feel like if I was becoming a teacher, I'd want like kindergarten and like young kids. I would be really intimidated by high schoolers.
They're so fun. They're so fun. They say some of the wildest stuff though, honestly.
Yeah, they're brutally honest. Those
you know they really are, which sometimes that's really what you need.
So true. So I taught for a long period of time and my favorite age group was definitely the preschool to like grade 3 because 4 and 5 they think they're teenagers already and it is like impossible to reason with them, but that elementary level was my favorite. But I also loved my high schoolers. My seniors in high school were the best.
I loved
of my great kids.
I loved middle schoolers. I taught
did
middle
you really
school. Yeah, I loved that. I loved like that
weird awkward
in between.
I loved it well because they were older too and I feel like I could still talk to them like adults and you know I liked that 4th through 8th grade I think was my spot. I like that kid. That's
so funny how everyone is so
all
different
these teachers
that is, yeah
I know all I right. think awkward middle schoolers are hysterical.
Oh, it's the best phase.
Like a little bit cooler than they are, then you're like they never act up in the classroom, they never do anything wrong, there's no behavior issues.
Yeah, that's the perk of being a young teacher.
Yeah, they definitely
look at you differently. They definitely look at you differently. So, Jack, why don't we talk about, well, before we get into reselling, you guys have a YouTube channel. So Jack has the YouTube channel, but Ryan is always on Jack's YouTube channel.
Yeah, I'm the featured entertainer.
Yes.
So if you guys don't follow them, it is Jack Valentine on YouTube. So head on over and subscribe to that channel. Yes. And they also have another channel, which Jack will talk about as well. But why don't you tell everyone like what you do on the YouTube channel? Because there's a lot of reselling channels out there.
Yeah. So, well, to give like backstory to the channel, I started the channel like just myself because I had started reselling and I was watching some people make videos about it and I was like, oh, I can do this. It'd be fun to like show what I find, especially because like in Minnesota, I felt like I was finding good things and I was like, people might want to see this. And then it grew. And then like, I would always do the Saturday sold videos and Brian and I would only see each other on the weekends back then. Mm-hmm. And so I either was going to have to sit there and film alone or Ryan's doing the same thing as me. Why not? We both do the What's Sold Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And so then when we moved in together, obviously that became that he was in all of them. So yes, the channel's like named Jack Valentine, but it is like both of us. It's both of our channels. Mm-hmm. And I just haven't wanted to change the name because people know it based on that name. And it's not like that big of a deal to me.
It's fine.
Yeah. And so that's why it's still named after me. Also, I do the editing and all the real work.
Yeah, you do.
Ryan's the comedic relief and I do all the real work.
Again, you're good at the back end.
You guys are a great combo. So much fun to watch. And you play off of each other just perfectly. We love it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
One of the first
so our channel has like hauls a lot. We try to not always do the hauls because I feel like anyone can make a haul. It can get a little monotonous to just see what people are finding all the time. Obviously it helps to see new labels and new brands, but that's why we also try to do the like bolos and the nolo videos, because we want to show people like specific brands that maybe we haven't picked up recently, but if someone were to see them they should pick them up. And then we also like to do like informative videos and everyone's probably like to do, yes,
I love doing those. Those are so much fun.
Yes. And then we do like to do like a little comedic relief here and there with like the who would wear this stuff videos and
those
stuff.
Those are
like
so fun. We should do another one of those sometime.
And then of course we do the what solds, which mm-hmm. we didn't want to just stick to that either, because I feel like a lot of people do kind of like sold videos. So that's why we throw in some variety and some teaching.
Would you say one of your style videos performs best out of the bunch? Like do your what solds perform the best? Or I'm just curious, versus like what you enjoy doing and what gets the views? I'm curious.
Oh, it's really, or if really it matters. Interesting, because I would say that we can count on our hauls doing the best mm-hmm. always. And honestly, when I do real, real videos, they do the worst number wise. But I get the most positive feedback from like the real, real ones, because people say, oh, no one makes real, real videos. I'm mm-hmm. so glad that you do. And then with hauls, sometimes we get feedback of like that it is monotonous, or like, can you like add some more information ones or whatever? So it's really odd that like the most attention goes to the ones that are like the most repetitive and like have the least substance to them. And then the ones that have more information and substance don't always get the numbers.
Yeah,
I find the same on my channel. That's why that's why I was curious. Like, I'll put my heart and soul into a subject matter and research and, you know, a real labor of love to like really put something out that's super quality, and people appreciate it.
Yes.
But mostly they want hauls. That's all they want. But also, I think just being a reseller, it's super easy to put a haul on in the background and go about your business, where some of the other specialized videos, I feel like I need to focus on a little bit more.
I think that's true.
You need to like sit down for them a little bit.
Yeah. More. And like in the long run, probably if I looked back at older ones, they might be more evened out in the view amounts. It's just right away they don't pick up that. So maybe people do save the more information ones for later when they can and focus go back. More.
Yeah.
I know for me personally, I started watching Jack because of his real, real videos. Because like when I was starting to like think about going to send stuff to the real world, I was like, okay, I'm gonna YouTube this because I have no idea what I'm doing. Yes. I've never done it before. And Jack's the only one that really comes up for it. He's literally the only one out there, which is great. I mean, that is like your thing, right? You've started it all. And that's how I got introduced to Jack. And that's how I started talking to Jack and everything. Yeah. You know, the rest is history. But I personally, when I'm on YouTube, that's the kind of stuff that I'm looking for. So it's like, there's a viewer for everything. But for me personally, when I want content that's going to give me some type of information of what I'm looking for, I like the hauls. But like you said, it's always on the background. Like it's there, but I'm not necessarily listening to it.
Yeah.
It's just there.
Yeah. I will turn on like a haul from someone when, I'm like listing and I just want some noise in the background or something. Like I still pay attention to it and like appreciate it, but it's more just like, I don't have to like actually give my direct attention to
it. Yeah. It sounds like involved.
Yeah. But I do really appreciate people with like the more informative ones as well. Yeah. Like I don't know much about ThredUp personally. So sometimes I'll watch videos on that to learn about it. Yeah.
I would love to talk a little bit about ThredUp versus The RealReal. I have limited experience with both. And it seems like one of the drawbacks to The RealReal is that you can't set your pricing.
Mm-hmm.
But now with somebody referred to it as ThreadGate, which I thought was so funny.
That was
April Hunter, April Hacks. She has a podcast as well. And she called it Threadgate, and I thought it was really fun. So now that pricing we think is going to change, where you can only price it at 50% of the MSRP instead of boosting it up to the 80%. But I'm just curious, you know, how you ended up focusing more on The RealReal and not on ThredUp.
To me, like, we always usually have really good consignment stores around us that do offer like decent chunks. Like this one that I bring stuff to all the time gives me like 50% of what things sell for, which is like a good chunk. And so to me, ThredUp was almost like putting in a lot more work to almost get the kind of same situation. Obviously on ThredUp, you can mark stuff way up and this consignment store doesn't do that. But I have always, if you couldn't tell by my post today with the Burberry, I've always like been super, super into like luxe and high end stuff. So like right away when I heard about The RealReal and what it was, it just like nabbed my attention.
Right.
Then when I actually started using it and I saw that there was like the tiers of percentages that you could earn your way up to, and I saw that you could get up to 70% for stuff, I was like, my new target is to get to that. And I'm going to literally like order stuff from Posh, buy stuff here, buy stuff there, and I'm going to get myself to the 70%, because then if I get luxe things like a Burberry trench, I could sell it myself on Posh for 300 and get 80%, or I could sell it on the Real for like 375 and get 70%.
Mm-hmm. And not have to put the work involved in that.
Right, yeah. Right.
So that's what, that it really drew me in, that I could be making such a like large margin and dealing with these like brands that I really like and stuff. Mm-hmm. And really then cool. like the brands I take, it's like endless. Like people think it's like pretty selected or like limited, but it's like
not, they take a ton.
Endless. And so I love learning all the new ones and like ones that people don't know about and stuff.
What is the threshold to get to 70%? I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I think it's right like...
Now. Let me see.
Yeah, Daniela, do you know what it is?
Right now. I don't know. I'm almost at 70%. That's actually my goal too, is I'm almost there.
It's like if you sell 10,000 worth in a year, then you unlock 70% for the next year.
I'm at 60% right now.
Which is like 5,000 maybe?
Yeah, I need 3,265 more sales to get to 70%. After reaching 10,000 in sales, your commission rate will increase to 70%.
Yeah.
For the remainder of
your- is that on everything or just certain items?
It's on stuff that's priced over 200.
Okay.
Which, so it is, there's that aspect too, mm-hmm. is that you do still get like 40% and 50% on lower.
That's
lower.
Still not, I mean, 40 and 50%, that, you know,
oh yeah,
that's not bad.
Not doing any work. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the benefit of it too. I didn't realize it was commission year. I never paid attention to that. I was like, oh, I hit 60. So that's exciting. But I didn't realize it was a commission year. That's the best thing about the Real to me, is if I'm able to find all these luxe brands, and I know, Jack, you talk about it too, they take some other brands that aren't even on their list. You've sent them in and they take it, so we can talk about that too. And you're not doing any work. The Real is pretty fast at processing. I mean, they have their moments where it takes them a little bit longer, but they're pretty quick at processing. They're very responsive. I've never really had an issue with their customer service. I had a slight hiccup here a couple last year with Sorel Boots, but other than that, like, I haven't had any issues with them. They give you back your stuff. You don't have to pay for shipping. Like, there's a lot of really great perks with it.
Yes.
And I asked to recall on my inventory in March without a question. They're like, okay, it'll be there in like 3 days.
Yes.
And packaged it all and I got it. Like,
that's one thing I really like about them too, is like, I've never had like a headache situation, and their customer service is actually so good and it's so responsive. Whether you email them, you'll get an email back in like 24 hours, or you can call them and they will figure it out like instantly, whatever your problem is. And yeah, they send whatever you want back for any reason at all. You could have no reason.
Yep.
They're very good at working with you, and you get like your own agent and stuff. Or
they're super responsive.
Yeah, they call you. That's so nice.
Yeah.
The concierge.
Yes.
So fancy.
But they also accept brands I think people don't realize they accept, like Sorel, like Patagonia,
North Face.
Oh, right? Yeah.
North Face is the best to send to them.
Yeah.
Like, they accept all that stuff. And even like brands like Tory Burch, I have a hard time selling that on my own.
Yes,
Ace does not move as well. Yeah. So I send it off to them because it moves there, you know? Yeah. It's fascinating. What are some brands that you've sent there, Jack, that's not on their list?
They've taken Pendleton from me. Really? I sent them like this this big red wool Pendleton trench, and they priced it at like $200. Mm-hmm. And it did end up selling for like 150. Mm-hmm. I've sent them a few Pendleton blazers, North Face, every North Face basically that I find, that's I send to them. Huh. Patagonia, if it's not like a Cinchilla or a better sweater, I'll send that in. Mm-hmm. Alberto Macaulay isn't on their list. I hate
that. I have one jacket by him because it's like unique, and I'm like, why do I have this?
Yeah.
It's
to
move.
if I find that in the bins, I'll send it in. Mm-hmm. Rachel Zoe, they take, including the like TJ Maxx Rachel Zoe. Mm-hmm. They don't know the difference. Mm-hmm. So you can send that in.
They take vintage, which I think is great because the people who are really familiar with ThredUp say that ThredUp also takes vintage, but they say that they don't. But if you send them in the right piece, they'll sell it. But I guess, how do you know which is the right piece?
Exactly.
Like, I sent my vintage to the Real, the vintage luxury, like Christian Dior blazers and suits and stuff like that.
Christian Dior up
high. Oh, it's so expensive.
Yeah,
and I was just going to say something about the Real, and I totally lost it. Oh, they accept fur items too. So fur.
Yes,
they do.
Best, they like that kind of stuff. And
it's not like beat or ripped or worn. They'll
take it, and they price it pretty high.
Yes.
It's expensive.
They do. Yeah.
Ryan, do you use the RealReal as well, hun? Or do you?
Very sparingly. I don't use it near as much as Jack because I'm not like drawn to the luxury stuff that often. Mm-hmm. A lot of the stuff I find is like cutesy, like typically like lower dollar items that I move out really, really, really fast. So I just like don't inherently like pick that stuff up, or if I find it, I'll give it to Jack because I know he can sell it and turn it into a lot more money than I ever could.
And I've definitely built like the mental database so much more. Oh, so yeah. Like I know so many brands that probably even Ryan wouldn't bet the real world takes.
I have, I don't know half of what they take.
Yeah.
There's some pretty neat brands on that list.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. European brands that we would never, like, you would never know, even going to the thrift store, you'd have no idea.
I know.
You'd never find them. Yeah. You never know what they are if you did find them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you guys have some pretty good sourcing spots where you are.
Oh, we have great locations.
We have, like, so many good sourcing spots. Literally, like, we'll go home with, like, IKEA bags full all the time. Why did we get so much? We already didn't have room. Such a
problem. Our little two-bedroom apartment, the floor is going to collapse.
I know. Our neighbors literally probably look out the window and they're like, hoarders.
Oh, they think we're so weird.
More IKEA bags.
When we're clothing up the stairs. And then the next morning, we have, like, this armful of packages.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's wrong with these people?
I'll never forget the day I came home. So when I got my inventory from the RealReal, there was about 30 boxes outside my apartment door.
That's right.
And all my neighbors must have been like, what are you calling this?
Like, who is this?
You're like building a fortress out of my... Oh, I love it.
And they were like
30 boxes,
Lori. And then it was 4 in the office too. I had so much stuff there, but that's when the pandemic first hit and I was like, I'm just taking everything. And all this stuff is marked at 80% off. Absolutely not. I'm taking it all. Like, I will sell it myself if I don't know how long this is going to go for. Some of the stuff is actually sold since I took it back. And then I still have some sitting, which I think I'm going to put my next round send back there. But I didn't know it was going to happen. So I just took it all back and it was a lot.
That's crazy.
That 30 boxes just lining the whole hallway.
You're like, sorry, excuse me.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah, my husband was working from home that day, so he had no idea the boxes were even out there. They didn't knock on the door, they just left them all out there. So when I came home from work, I was like, oh my god, what is all this? What are all these boxes? The
front door?
Oh, I remember seeing the picture, yeah.
It's crazy. It was so
you
funny.
Have to like climb over it.
Oh no.
Yeah, so that was fun.
Is the RealReal international as well?
You can shop internationally, but they only take consignments from the U.S.
And like specific materials and like
For some reason they don't send furs or like reptile skins or
overseas.
A lot of exotics.
Yeah.
They don't ship anywhere outside of like the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah,
which like I think that's probably just for like customs reasons.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Yeah, I sent her an alligator boots one time and it was like not available for purchase in like this laundry list of countries. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay.
I think a lot of people don't realize you can use the RealReal as a sourcing platform as well.
Oh, you 100% can. Yeah, those little $30 coupons I send you every now and again.
Yeah, that's true too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Corey, do you get the coupons? Are you signed up?
I never use them. I remember you messaging me, Daniela, and you're like, use your coupon and buy this right now. I just used mine. You need to. I am so bad. I got a $25 coupon from eBay as well because I was on the platform when they started 25 years ago. Forgot to use that. I forget to use my store credit on eBay.
Oh my God.
Back to the accountant. Like he's like, what are you doing? Like you're throwing money away. I'm like, I'm
sorry. Free money. And you're like, it got lost in my email. It's fine.
That's like the perk of being on the RealReal. You get the $30 credits and you're like, okay, going to your clearance section right now and finding at least 2 things that I can purchase and only pay shipping on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun.
Lori, it sounds like fun.
So often they usually don't send me the coupons, but every once in a while. Okay.
They're like, we know you'll buy from us anyway. Yeah. You're fine.
My mom and Ryan.
You're already a loyal
My
customer.
Mom and Ryan don't get them though.
I know. I just give them to Jack. Unless I find something that's like for me. Like but that's how I use it. Where I use just my little like my fun money for my bougie things.
That's fun.
2 bougie t-shirts I have.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys sent stuff into ThredUp? I remember you saying once in a video that you used to send stuff. Do you not do it at all?
Ryan has done like one.
I did once and I hated it. It was the most painful experience of my entire life.
I have done like 5 boxes at this point, not many. But like when I was on, I was like finally trying it out. I was on my like 2nd or 3rd box ever, and they like lost my most expensive coat and then offered me like $25.
You're like, here's a, for like here's a $25 Sonya, site credit.
For like a Sonia Rykiel wool coat, which would have been like $2,000.
Yeah.
So like that already was like,
I know.
I already wasn't really liking it that much. And so that kind of was like,
yeah.
And now they're so busy too. Like they're just so much more room for error now.
I've sent them one box in since this whole thing started, and they got it like a month ago, and it says they're gonna go through it in February.
Well, yeah, that makes sense because I have stuff from March that they're just processing now.
So I have no interest in that.
Yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah.
I just don't, unless you're sending them like a quantity over quality type situation, I don't really think it's worth my time.
No.
Because like I see people on Instagram be like, oh, I sent 350 things in a thread up. I'm like, okay, so that makes sense. You'll make money on that because you sent 350 things. I sent a box of like, you know, 10, 15 things.
Yeah.
So it's just not like worth the wait time and like the hassle to like, you know, it's just not, I just don't think it's like worth that much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I was just hanging out with my friend. I don't know if you guys follow the Modern Beat. Her name's Mira.
The name sounds very familiar.
You guys will love her.
You guys will love her. She's super feisty. And she literally, she was just here, we were chatting and she's like, I don't sell anything on, nothing comes into my house anymore. She assembles boxes in her car, shops at the bins pretty much exclusively, and stuff. She has a cleaning kit in her car.
Why do I love that? Around. She's like converted the trunk of her car into like a cleaning station.
Yes.
Have you seen her? Yeah. So she cleans everything. It goes right in the box. It goes right to ThredUp, and she deals with like one consignment store and one exclusively vintage store. In like in her area in Maine, and it's full time. She's like, nothing comes into my house.
Wow,
like it blows my mind. Blows my mind.
That is like, I'm slowly over time trying to work at getting the reel to be an even like bigger part of my income, because I would love to just like not even feel like the stress of like I have to make this much money in sales like on the house this week or whatever, and just rely on getting like this big check each month from the reel. So I would love to like go towards her direction, but with the reel, that's kind of what I'm trying to do.
That'd be so much fun.
Not having kind of started by selling stuff at the bins, like, this is great, but I know it won't move on Poshmark. So here it is. Is anybody interested in this for like $15 or, and then I'll just ship it to you. She started doing it that way. And then she opened like a Shopify, and then the shipping was crazy because people were buying so much stuff. While she was shopping, she would, you know, people would DM her, and then it got to be too much. And then, but she realized that she just enjoyed the shopping so much more than any other part. And so she made it her model to just ship it all out. Fascinating. Fascinating.
That's
so fun. Impressive. I wish I had the ability to do that.
I know.
Honestly.
That's
crazy. I mean, with the way you guys shop at the bins, you theoretically could make that a part of your business model.
Yeah, I know. So how is it working for her now with ThredUp being so like delayed?
She probably got
bought. Like a special relationship.
She does the expedited $16, you know, that. So it basically, I think the gist of it is it cost about $26.50 or just under $27 to process a box that you will get all your rejected stuff sent back to you. That's like $10. And then it's like $16.95 for expedited shipping, which just increased from like 1 week to 3 weeks. According to what I've seen on
boxes like all the time,
it makes more sense.
Like
then.
Like that's a justifiable business cost, I think. Like your only expenses is like $30 every time you send a box in, and you could make umpteen amount of money.
Right, because she's sending multiple boxes at a time, so she's filling up 3 boxes a day. Right. Let's say.
So she was just here helping me fill boxes, and one of the boxes was like basically stuff I was going to bring to Play-Doh's, and she's like, "You're going to get no money for that, anyways." And they're going to reject half of it. She's like, so if you don't care about that, these clothes right here, just put all those in. Don't pay for expedited. When they process it, they process it. And when they're done with it, they're done with it. And you make whatever you make and don't go back to that. So that one will only be the, I didn't expedite it. And I'm not asking for a return on that. So that's not going to cost me anything. And then she's like, make sure you put your good stuff in this box and pay the extra. I mean, she's got it down.
Oh, that makes sense.
Super that's quick.
A,
yeah.
But a little system going on. Good for her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's fascinating what she does, but it also makes you think like, you don't need to store this stuff in your house. You can just send it off, whether you're sending it to the RealReal or you're sending it to ThredUp. You don't have to necessarily be a reseller and have all your reselling things in your room.
Yeah, with like a hoarder, not necessarily.
Right, which is basically like the status rocking. That we're all at.
Yeah.
But there are floors that are going to break.
Oh, no, I hope not. Holy Lord.
I always think, to me, it would make me a little nervous to fully like put all my eggs into the basket of like the RealReal and ThredUp, because you never know when they do something like this pricing thing and their whole business changes, because like then you're
like, you have screwed. To adapt
like
you're at their mercy.
Like if you only relied on that and something big happened that completely affected it, then like then you're out of luck and it's out of your control. So I feel like I would always want at least somewhat of a like Poshmark, my own business that I could fall back on.
Yeah, I definitely want my hand in it enough to the point where I would be able to like sustain myself.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't go hungry
if their business models changed.
Yeah, like something. If something did happen, or like if something really hit the fan.
I like it
a little more. I like my hand in a couple things. Like I like having my website, trying to push that a tiny bit, and then it's like we have Poshmark, and I haven't even gotten into like Instagram sales, and that's a whole avenue where people can do really well too.
That's where I purchased most of my clothing from Jack and Ryan, is from Instagram sales.
Yeah, it's from Instagram. Yes. I sent you your boot socks. I popped them in the mail.
Oh, thank you so much. Can't wait to get them. I had Ryan put them on because I was like, if they fit you, they'll fit me. So put them
they were actually so soft. It was a pair of like Hunter boot socks. And I was like, I have to get me a pair of these.
Cute.
Yes. Yeah, I bought my Allbirds. I bought those from Jack. I bought my Chloe bag from Jack. I am a frequent flyer of Jack and Ryan.
The free people flannel.
Oh, that red flannel was so cute.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot easier for me to be able to like directly sell it to people, because it's like, you know, you make more because there isn't a fee. Like shipping takes a little bit out of it, but when you're comparing like 20% to paying like $3, $4, $5 to ship something to somebody, and then like you're just costing the item, like I just think it's a little bit easier, and then it's less work I have to do later. Like if I sell 15 things to people on Instagram, pictures. I don't have to,
list to not it, take the pictures.
Measure it. Yeah, I don't have to, you know, like steam it, make it look all pretty.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'll let roll this and here you go.
And that's all part of, and this is a great compliment to you guys, because you really are building your brand. You shout out the people who I like, I always think like, oh, I should mention who bought this. And then my old brain is just like, I don't remember who bought this, or, you know what I mean? And you guys are so good. Like Gamma. No, who's
Glamma. She's so funny.
I hear her name mentioned all the time. And I know that you've shouted out Daniela, and it's just, it's really nice. And I think that's one of the many reasons why people love you both. I mean, they feel like they're part of your community. They send you like Cheetos and Taco Bell stuff.
Yeah, they send like gifts.
Yeah.
Oh, so cute. I think that's
You've done a really great job building your community and being very inclusive. And I love how you guys premiere your YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. So they're not live, but then people know if they hop on, they're going to get to chat with you. And
we love to do that.
It's so
like, obviously, yes, it like takes time out of our day, but it's like so worth
it's
it.
It's like, you get to talk to people that you like have like all these common interests with, and they're funny.
And it's like, so much better than when you're live and trying to like watch the screen and like do all of it at once. I wanted to premiere my Boston collection, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do it. I think this is great. I want to talk to everybody. And then I realized the video had to be done first. Like, I was like, oh, I can't just like, you know, upload it and then say I'm going to premiere it. Like, tell everyone I'm going to premiere it. But, you know, I'm like, oh, no, last minute, Lucy, it's not going to happen.
I love that. My thing with community though is like, I'm here and I have this platform because people A, care what I have to say, B, like the things that I find, and C, like they want what I have. So, like, I'm definitely the kind of person where it's like, I need to give credit where credit is due. And it's like, these people that are paying stuff from Instagram, like they're the ones paying my bills. You know, like they're the ones helping me pay rent, like help me get groceries. So it's like, I really feel like not indebted, but like very grateful to the people that like do buy from like me personally. Or like I'll get a message on Poshmark of somebody that's like, oh my god, I love your YouTube channel, like thank you so much. And it's like, oh, it makes me feel hard for good, and I love
all
it.
The feels.
Yeah, exactly. And I just love to know that, like, this is going to somebody that is, like, you know, a follower.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody that, like, supports me.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Whenever you realize there's some sort of a connection, and like you said, Ryan, oftentimes it's not, they don't send an offer and necessarily say, I follow you on YouTube or whatever, but like mm-hmm. sometimes after the purchase is made, sometimes in the love note, they'll say,
they say like,
so much, oh, I love your YouTube channel. And there is that like little extra hug because you know it's somebody who's in your community.
And so and when they mentioned Mike, those are my favorite. I just like, oh, I hope Mike has a good day.
Me too. He's such a cutie, that Mike. Oh, Mike is their dog, in case you're wondering, guys. Not everyone might know who Mike is.
Yeah.
Pug that thinks he's a child.
He's so damn cute.
Cute little pug. I think there's something to be said, too, I think, with your generation, too, guys. Like, I'm a little older than you. I'm not that much older. I'm 33. But the whole, like, Instagram sale thing is, or just being on Instagram and building that community is big within your generation of people.
It's really important. And I'm like, obviously not for everybody's business model, but I feel like Instagram is one of those platforms where your personality can come across more than anything. And if you have, you know, good charisma and a good personality and you have like a style that people can really resonate with, then like whoop, your number's gonna go crazy high. Mm-hmm. Like all these people that have these like really big, like affirmed brands, people like, oh, like Alex, like Jill Queen, like Jenna, they're all like very established in that brand and their personality is very interwoven in that, which I think is like why they have such a big following. It's like, oh, you know, she finds really cute stuff and she's also a really nice person, which I think is like, it's kind of nice to know that like people follow you for you and then like for Ryan's for Fines.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's all part of, it's part of your brand, you know? Yeah,
exactly. Me not being able to spell and finding the same tops over and over and over again.
It's all right. You're going to be an art teacher. You need to
Say, I say that all the time. I think I'm not going to be an English teacher.
You're going to be an art teacher. So spelling is not required for
exactly.
that.
Oh, I love it.
So Jack, you are an accountant by trade. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about like specifics about accounting, but what are some like the top three important things if someone's a newbie reseller that they should do? That's not like anything specific in terms of taxes, but things that they should do within their business to make sure that they're in line when it is time to get their taxes done.
Make sure you pay them quarterly because you don't want to be smacked in the face with the crazy, crazy, insanely high tax bill at the end of the year.
In April.
Because being self-employed, obviously we're not getting paychecks. No one is taking a chunk out of each time we cash out or anything. Mm-hmm. So make sure you do it quarterly. Track your miles always. I know you said not tax related, but I feel like for being self-employed a lot
it is all tax related, right?
Yeah, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah, always like track your miles really well, and like even for like the small, like you ran to Walmart and your main reason was because you needed some more like packing tape, like that is that you drove for your business,
like, so, like keep track of your expenses, like packing and, like, tape, don't... boxes, you know, if you have like other shipping supplies, like,
How do you track your expenses in terms of what you're buying at the thrift store? What's your method for doing that? Do you keep a spreadsheet? Do you put it into
spreadsheets? That's how I do like everything related to my taxes, my money, and then saving a bunch of receipts.
Oh my god, the coupon organizer's full of receipts.
Yeah,
I just think it's invaluable to have like your own numbers. So it's like every month, you know, I total up my expenses. If I had to buy like tape or if I had to buy like, you know, if my lint roller crapped down on me or something, like I'll put that in there. But I think it's nice to have your own like information, like, you know, God forbid anything happens, you can say like, hey, you know, Poshmark says this, but all my numbers reflect, you know, all this other information. So I think it's like, it's good to just like be able to back yourself up.
Yeah.
100%.
I think there's like this, always like a dark cloud when it comes to doing like office stuff, right? Like people don't want to do it, or like you avoid doing it because you really don't want to know what the numbers say. Like, I like to shop. I like to buy all the cool things to buy and, you know, all that fun stuff. But
how do you make money?
Right. And I think we all fall into that trap sometimes where it's like you buy, you're finding all this great stuff. And then you sit back and you're like, okay, I'm like, I am done. I am cut off. I am not allowed to touch anything anymore. I need to figure out what I'm going to do with all of the stuff that's in front of me and then make sense of it all.
I know. Yeah. It's like when you have a really good sourcing weekend and you get your credit card bill. You're like,
Yeah, yeah. I found just this year, I finally got my own business credit card and I became an LLC. And we finally just started like filtering everything, like all my Amazon orders, like that credit card is saved. So like I was clicked down to Lori's Boston Found and, you know, so because Jay, the accountant, was like going through the credit card and like moving all the numbers over, you know, from different. And now to just have one credit card, it's very much in my face because it's only work related.
Right. Yes.
And all my supplies, everything goes on there. My PO box, like whatever I'm paying for on a monthly basis, all like my, you know, like the list perfectly.
Yes.
Those type of services, all that stuff on my credit card. And it, you really get your bottom line that way.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay. Awesome.
Yeah. You're like, oh, all right then.
Yeah.
I know. I really strive for that. But I think especially like with our current situation, I don't want to get a Minnesota business license and live in Iowa.
Yeah. Oh, right.
I think that, like, I'm going to definitely wait until I'm like permanently up here so I can get like a business credit card and like a, like an LLC, just so it like makes everything a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to be like, well, yeah, I technically legally live in Iowa, but like my business is registered in Minnesota.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That makes sense, Ryan. The only reason we did it was because of my website, and Jay thought, you know, if anything went wrong with, you kind of have that protection of Poshmark.
Yeah.
Should anything go wrong. But like if you sell something and who knows what crazy thing, somebody has an allergic reaction to something you sell, like whatever it is, he's like, I just feel like that's just like a little bit of protection for us.
Yeah.
Now that you're selling directly from your own site, that was the only reason we did it.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, no, that totally, you know, cover your back.
Yeah.
100%. And like, you know, God forbid anything happens, but like, it's nice to know that like there's that safety net.
Yeah.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So when are you guys moving officially? Have you decided?
I have a countdown.
We have a countdown.
I said that with my Siri. It's like 185 days.
Oh, so soon? Not too far.
Yes, when Ryan finally is done.
One more spring semester.
Yeah.
And then I got to come up here for the summer and I student teach next fall and then I'm done with school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'm excited to move up here. I can't wait.
Yeah. I've been away from Minnesota for so long as a like citizen.
I'm ready to leave.
In Minnesota is where you find all your good stuff.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. We basically live here half the time and there half the time. Like it's this month, actually, we live here.
October. Well, because there's a lot of,
because like, we're in Minnesota now.
Yeah. To make there's a lot of like personal stuff that happens in October, like with Jack's family.
Birthdays.
And then my birthday is in the beginning of November. So we usually come up here. Yeah. My birthday, my parents love to come to the Mall of America.
Mm-hmm. So my family's huge on Halloween. So we're up here for a bunch of festivities.
We're up here every weekend. I only have to be on campus 2 days, days a week. It's like, why not? You know,
what is the distance?
It's a 3-hour drive.
Okay.
Which,
yeah, it's not that bad.
Kind of long, but like when we're staying here for like 3 nights, it's not that bad. And especially when you, then I can put on my tax. And also, like, it's so worth it just because of like the much higher tier, like level of items we find here versus down there. Like, it's just not even comparable.
I know. And also, we live in a farm town in Iowa. So it's like, you know, the good finds we get are like vintage John Deere. A buckhole. So it's like, you know, it's not really that much of a comparison when we can come up here and find, we have so many amazing places we can find, all different kinds of like levels of
inventory. Like too many places.
If
we wanted to fit every place that we consider super good in one weekend, we wouldn't even
do it.
That's crazy. We're going to Minnesota, Lori.
Oh my god, come on. Like, there's so many hotels.
There's literally almost like too much good stuff here.
I know. Well, and the longer you're here, the more little like nooks and crannies that you find out where like the good stuff is. Mm-hmm. Like you find those little tiny hole in the wall places where you're like, oh.
Where is it all coming from?
Right?
There's a lot of money up here.
We have a lot of suburbs that are very wealthy.
Very affluent.
Yes.
Minnetonka. There's a ton of industry out of Minnetonka. There's a lot of wealth out there, especially like in and around like the Twin Cities, like Minneapolis, St. Paul. There's a ton of like really big corporations.
Yes.
And those people get paid really
well. We have like the Target Corporation is here. Mm-hmm. Corporation is here. Mm-hmm.
Dairy
like
Queen,
Lando Lakes or whatever is here, Kellogg's or something. Like
Post Cereal.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Post Cereal. Okay,
tons of like corporations here, so there's a lot of like wealthy. There's a lot of money.
There's a lot of
swing. And we use that to our advantage.
And there's Mall of America. So, you know, people come to like Nordstrom. The Nordstrom of the Mall of America is insane. And yeah.
Is American Girl still open at the Mall of America?
Is what?
American Girl doll store.
They closed it.
Isn't that so sad? They're closing so many.
Oh, that's right. No,
the American Girl doll stores. It was in the Nickelodeon universe, yeah. The like theme park in the mall. And I remember I sent my sister a picture because that was where she had her 10th birthday.
Yeah.
That was like
ours closed out here too. I worked at the one outside of Boston and we closed March of 2019. And we were one of the first boutiques to open. And Mall of America was a big one. And
massive.
They opened like 22 stores across the country. I think they're going to end up just like, they're just running through their leases. And then when they're done, they're done. So they're going to just keep their flagship stores. And even LA, I think the girls in LA are done playing with dolls when they're like 8 years old at like 8 or 9.
I remember like the drama of like the girl gets her first American Girl doll.
It's a big deal.
And the like look-alike ones or whatever.
That was when my sister had, my mom's college best friend bought her the like looks like me. Mm-hmm. And she like ascended when she opened that Christmas present. It was so funny. And she had all the matching pajamas. She had, I remember there was a dog. She had like the little like
dogs. Yeah, dog. Coconut maybe.
Yeah, it was Coconut, the little like yellow dog. And that's so expensive too.
Yeah.
I remember when I first started, there was a lady that used to come into where I worked all the time and she would buy them at Goodwill and like fix them, like redo the hair and like, you know, clean off the faces and like repaint the eyes and stuff. And she'd make good money doing that. Like she's a little like
people make them into like custom dolls. Like they'll have like the Harry Potter series and people will customize each doll to look like Hermione or whatever. And then they sell them for big money. What did you say?
They re-wig them. She told me that was her favorite part.
Did they get like haircuts and stuff?
Yes, there was a salon at the one in Mall of America.
I worked in the doll hair salon, boys.
Oh my God, what was your job? Did you get to massage the doll hair? Did you get to like wash?
We would braid their hair. We would do comb outs. We would do all these fancy. We would put them in their original style. We couldn't cut hair. We did not cut hair.
Oh,
okay. I remember the tea party. Mm-hmm. My sister's big thing was she had a tea party with her dolls. Aww. And they sat her down at one of those like teeny
little tables. At the store.
They're so cute. Yeah. And my mom's like, oh,
I'm sad it's gone there though. I was curious if that one was still around. Yeah. That's too bad. That's too bad.
I remember the drama of the American Girl doll.
I never owned one. My family couldn't afford one, so I never had American Girl doll.
I didn't either. I don't have any sisters.
Your younger brother wanted an American Girl doll.
Yeah, no.
No, I always remember they were really expensive.
Yes, yeah. That's why my family never bought me one. I mean, like immigrant family couldn't do it. So
I know.
You know what's so funny, Danielle, is we have so many women in their 30s that were like, you know, we could never afford this when I was a kid. And they come in as an adult and they're like, I'm going to buy the doll I could never get when I was little. I'm older. So I was the Cabbage Patch Kid era.
Oh,
I did have a Cabbage Patch Kid.
Yeah.
As a gift.
And I was like just on the cusp. In the fifth grade, I got mine. So I like really played with them for like 2 years. And then I was too cool for dolls, but saved them forever. But yeah, so I was too, because American Girl came out in 1986. And I was born in 1973. I'm an old lady. So
I'm an old lady.
So yeah. So by the time I was dating Jay and his little sister got the Samantha doll for Christmas. And I was like,
oh, that's so cute. Yeah. Did your mom have to beat somebody at Black Friday to get you that Cabbage Patch doll?
Oh, there were some stories. Child World in Fitchburg lines before they open. My mom like knew somebody because she used to work at Kmart when we were babies. Like there, it was work.
Springs.
Yeah.
She did. My mom worked at the Hallmark store when she was a teenager and she was like, I don't want to work Black Friday. I don't want to have to do with the Cabbage Patch like people.
That is so funny.
I don't even know what like the new it thing is for kids now.
Oh, what are they? I just had
iPhones.
Hatchimals was a few years ago. I know
that. Hatchimals are a big one. Those are $60. I don't.
The LOL, the little globe LOL things. My nieces love those.
What's the LOL surprise is a big one. It's really like, it's weird because the toys, they don't have like, you know, like there's no like emotion in them. It's like small food. Those like little surprise things where you open the shopping cart.
They're like little glitter things that don't.
Yeah, I feel like this generation, they're really big into unboxings. Like they watch the unboxings, like you said, with all like the little things. And American Girl's getting killed. Like,
I know,
just the toy industry in general is really struggling because kids get into electronics at
because everything is on an app now. That makes me sad though.
Yeah,
and I think we can talk about even like retail stores and how that's changing. Like, if you're a big fashion junkie like I am, you like going into the big retailers and walking around and looking at the new stuff for the new season. And even though you can't afford it, it doesn't matter. It's just like it's looking just at it,
especially during the holidays.
Like, and so fun. Especially right now, it's just not a thing.
I know. We go to Mall of America like once a week, and we literally will just walk through Nordstrom to just like look. We know we aren't going to buy anything just at all.
I don't have to afford anything. We got invited into the Chanel boutique last time.
And she's like, can I help you find anything?
And I was like, no.
No, not at all.
But it's such a good plan. I'm fine.
I'm glad that, lucky for us, we have MOA, which is like a strong mall. So like, it's I feel like if they're all going to die out, like MOA would be one of the last.
It's a big destination for people.
Yeah, it's also
that will be around.
Yeah. So luckily, we hopefully will always have that as an option. Yeah. But yeah, all of the other little malls around here are like.
I know. There's a mall by my parents' house that is relatively newer. That's still pretty good because it has like Anthropologie, has an Apple store, so it has some like bigger, newer stores. But I remember the one that I used to go to when I was a kid is dying out. It's literally, it's just like an old people mall now. They just go and walk around in the morning. That's it. Yeah.
They do their laps.
They walk around.
It's funny because now they're starting to put like mile markers. So they're like, they have like this set entrance that you can walk around in. It's like, if you start here and you get to this point, it's a quarter mile. And if
that's
you get
actually really point, sweet. That's cute. I mean,
I'm like, you know, like use the space.
It's like indoor track and field.
Yeah, it really is. And it gives them a safe place to like, you know, walk around. Yeah.
Right.
Steps in for the day.
That's funny. Yeah, our malls here, so we have two malls in Rhode Island, well, three technically, but one is the Warwick Mall, and that one I think is pretty good because it's got Nordstrom Rack, it has Target, it has Old Navy, H&M, like it has things that people still kind of go to. It has Macy's. Some of the stores have definitely left and gone into outdoor strip mall kind of things. That's actually big here. Like the outdoor mall is huge here. So there's one near where I live, it's called Garden City, and it's just filled with like things that used to be in bigger Boston stores are now down there. So people like going to that. Province Place Mall was like the big it thing when I was in high school, and it's just dying. Yeah, Nordstrom left, Lord and Taylor left, everything's
Lord and Taylor's out of business. They're liquidating.
Right. So it's just Apple and Tiffany and like a couple little things here and there. Like Michael Kors is in there, but never no one
had a diamond and a laptop.
Yeah.
New MacBook.
Yeah, I will say, yeah, though, that outlet malls are like booming. Every time we go to ours, like it can be like middle of the day on a weekday, and they're just like so busy.
It's like Under Armour. There's always a line at like Nike. There's always a huge line at those teenage like sporting goods stores.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
popular. The UGG store always has a line. Coach,
Puma always has a line.
The Adidas. Mm-hmm. The Adidas
is big. Yeah. It's interesting how people's shopping habits have changed and how they will continue to change. And, you know, even just a couple days ago, they had Prime Day on Amazon. Mm-hmm. And I think Walmart was doing their equivalent. Yep. And a lot of the stores were releasing like their Black Friday pricing because they're just trying to sell as much as they can early in the season. They're just trying to move stuff early before Christmas, because Black Friday is just
not even going to be a thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just how they're going to do Black Friday. But it's also like, I remember when I was a kid, and I think I was like the last generation of like mall teenagers, where like the activity is you go to the mall and you just walk around. You
don't buy every Friday and every Saturday.
Every Friday after school, you put on your best stuff, have your mom drive you to the mall. She gives
you had your $25 or $30 and you went to Claire's and you walked around.
Court to get a dinner. 100%. And I remember Black Friday was this like big event because you're at the mall at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal for teenagers. Yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. But I think now it's like, nobody wants to be at the mall at 2 in the morning.
It had already changed. Like Black Friday already had changed so much the past, even like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. It's like now they're open on Thanksgiving. So if you want the deals, you can't even have like dinner with your family.
I know. I thought it was a really sad day when they started opening up on Thanksgiving. We didn't in Massachusetts because we're still like pilgrim mentality here.
Yeah, so same. We don't do it here either.
Yeah, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. No.
Here, they're open Thursday, 9 a.m.
No, it's like, it was like Thursday at like 2 p.m. And I'm like,
it's actually illegal here in Rhode Island. They cannot.
I wish they would.
We need to get some of those people to come
back. We also still don't sell alcohol on Sundays in Massachusetts.
Oh, we just got that.
Did you know? We sell it here in Rhode Island, really?
I don't think.
I'll have to ask Jay.
Yeah. Why not? Liquor stores are definitely open here on Sunday. I can tell you that.
Yay.
Yeah, but I remember I 1 year went out at like 2 a.m. with like my mom to the mall. And I remember it was like really, obviously it like sucked to be awake that early, but it was like really cool to be like, I'm in the mall. It's as busy as it would be at like 4 p.m., but it's 2 a.m. right now. And I remember that was so fun. And like, we would do that every year. And then, yeah, the last like 3-4 years, they just started changing it. And I was like, I don't even want to participate in this anymore.
I'm not going to skip dinner.
Like,
it's not the same.
I feel like
once they open at midnight, like there used to be incentive to like wake up at 3 or 4 in the morning, go get in line. Stores would open, you know, well, they would open like at, I remember when my kids were little, Target was the big first stop. Yeah. And we'd get like the Lego toys and all that. And then we'd go to the big mall in Natick. But we would stop there. And I remember lining up at 4 a.m. Like they didn't even open their doors until 5, 6 a.m. On Black Friday. Now they open at midnight. So we can't open on Thanksgiving, but they open on midnight, open at midnight. And so then people head out at midnight. So if I would get up at 4 or 5, like I typically did, we now just drink, my friends and I, like we go shopping at like 6 a.m. and we just like, we caffeinate, we shop a little, and then we meet for drinks at the same place. We've been doing it for like 10 years, but like little by little, it's becoming less about shopping and more about drinking at like 11 a.m.
So yeah, you're perfect. You can excuse it.
Nothing wrong with that.
Why not?
But it's definitely, the whole vibe has changed.
Yeah, and I think it changes the landscape of reselling too, because I feel like there's been this weird push since the pandemic happened where everyone's going to outlets or going to retail stores and purchasing things to then resell online, where it's, I mean, we're still using the thrift store as an option, but there's just been this weird big push to retail arbitrage, which I think wasn't really looked at the same way maybe a couple of years ago.
And I feel like a lot of places, like right when the lockdown was ending, they all wanted to get rid of all their crap. Oh, and so like Nordstrom acted their half off, and like Anthro had so much stuff for like $10 and stuff.
And that extra 25% off.
And I think that's still kind of been happening. Is it just seems like they're still just trying to like get stuff out. And so yeah, it does seem like there's so much more like new tag flipping.
I would have I think it's just a result of the shutdown. It's so much more accessible now to flip something that's new than we could before the pandemic, and you know, you really had to hustle to find those really good deals, and now they're just more common.
Plentiful.
I know, but it's like,
what do you think it, like, I guess, like if Anthropologie is having a sale every week and they're offering an additional 24% off, then how much stuff do they really have in the back? Like how much are they really producing? And like, it really makes you think in terms of sustainability, like how much are you producing out there that you still have all this stuff to get rid of?
I know.
That's what I was just going to say, is like, I think about like the quantity of like how much stuff these stores would sell like in a normal year, you know, circumstances.
Right.
But it's just like, it's like, it's insane that like all this stuff is still like so reduced. Like Nordstrom Rack is still, every time we go in, they still have like new stuff that they're
40% off.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, how much stuff do you need to go through that you got backed up in that 2 month period?
I know.
Like,
that's crazy.
Did we need all this stuff? No.
Right.
I think a lot of the orders are like years in advance, you know, like they're ordering their inventory for 4 seasons ahead, you know?
Yeah.
And so like, I think we'll probably see a shift in 2021 because as people are placing their orders and their numbers are so much lower than they've been in the past, then maybe there won't be so much excess in the brick and mortar space.
Yeah. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what they do, because people aren't even shopping the way they used to. Majority of people are working from home, or they're home and don't have jobs right now. So they're just wearing whatever they have. They don't really need new stuff. And if they do, it's like essentials, right? You need more essentials than anything else. So it'll be interesting to see how everything kind of changes starting quarter one of next year. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, when we traveled to Illinois, we went to a Nordstrom Rack that they had there at a mall. And there literally was a whole entire like 10-foot long clothing rack of just J. Crew blazers for like $10 new attack. because like you said, people just
nobody's wearing a blazer are not right buying now.
Stuff like that. So no. It's gonna be interesting to see like if like certain like work or like mature whatever
right. Just like business casual is still gonna be
even yeah like yeah. Like Ryan's mom, she's oh. probably never gonna work in the office again.
Janet, she doesn't want to, she says I'm gonna stay home.
Yeah, so like she wouldn't ever necessarily need business clothes again. No. And that's probably true for tons of people. I so know. You just kind of wonder what inventories are gonna look like coming yeah, up here. Mm-hmm. And if maybe they still will have business, but just like very little.
Yeah. I think especially like using my mom as an example, she doesn't need any more like professional attire because she has no business meetings. She wears one white blouse when she goes in the Zoom and in her pajama bottoms.
Yeah.
Like she doesn't need like the amount of like newer professional stuff that she would if she was in the office. So she's like, I'm gonna get a new robe and new slippers and new pajama bottoms and
right.
you know, comfy t-shirts and sweatshirts, that kind of yeah. thing. So it's just like, I think that there's going to be a huge like shift in what people are buying and then what people are donating. Because yeah. you know, if they're buying all this new comfy stuff, like that's going to end up a good one at some point.
And I hope it's not true, but it honestly might affect like luxury items as well and like dresses, because yeah. people would probably normally buy luxe items to go to an event or to like mm-hmm. go hang out with people or go to a party or whatever. Mm-hmm. And obviously, at least for now, that's not possible.
Yeah.
So, and some people might never go back to such huge events or stuff like that.
Yeah.
Everything will be just a little smaller scale, even if you're returning to some sort of socializing. Mm-hmm. I was really surprised. I was in Boston last week or the week before, and I went into Aritzia, and they had so many, what they were featuring at the front of their store was a bunch of sweatpants, sweatshirts, cropped ones, like all comfort stuff and like all the earth tones that really reminded me of like Kim Kardashian's Skims.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, like with her new velour line that she's coming out with.
Yeah.
That new line. I mean, it looks, I mean, who doesn't want that? It's neutral, it's comfy, it's luxurious. And like, I just feel like in Aritzia, I thought really was imitating a lot of that in their store. And it was right up front. And that's where everybody, you know, and they were super expensive sweatpants, but they were still sweatpants.
Yeah. I think Skims have been a cultural reset. And that like god awful early 2000s like velour nightmare that she's pumping out.
You mean the Juicy Couture suit?
Yeah. When I was grade school with those people, I don't want to see that again.
Paris Hilton is making a Listen, comeback as
are, yes.
Couture and all those velvet early 2000s yes. Britney Spears. I'm sorry, Ryan.
I regret sending them to ThredUp in the early 2000s. I wish I still had them because they're selling right now. People want them.
It's so expensive. Somebody mm-hmm. was telling me, a friend of mine has a little like, she sells on Instagram. And if you can find a pair of like vintage Juicy Couture, like track bottoms, they sell for like $100.
Seriously?
Yes. And I'm like, where was I when I was watching all my friends get taken to the office for wearing two-piece Juicy Couture track suits?
With Juicy on their ass.
Yes. I should have said, go take that. That's worth money. Your mom's going to try to donate it. Hide it in the back of your closet and give it 10 years.
Yeah, right? I know.
No.
I know. It's funny that you mentioned the dresses and the business suits too, because when I was at the thrift store today, there is such a surplus of dresses that are being donated because people are not, and I'm talking like high-end luxury brands that people just, they're not going anywhere. They don't care. They're just donating it. And I'm almost tempted to not pick it up instead of picking it up because I don't know if it's ever going to move for me. So why would I do it?
Dresses are overflowing. I think it's one of my lowest selling categories and I'm a sucker for them because you see them and they can be such a good value. You're like, well, you know,
this they're beautiful.
And then they just sit. I really struggle with dresses. And now it's fall. So, I mean, at least in the spring and the summer, you're selling a lot more like maxi dresses and just like you have your beach vibe going on. But now I force myself to not even look at dresses because my bins can't handle them.
Yeah,
I know.
That's like I noticed right when the lockdowns or ended or whatever, when Nordstrom Rack had the half off everything right after then, they went to like having like 40 or 50% off dresses.
Just dresses.
And I mm-hmm. had the same thought. I was like,
people aren't gonna
do
wear
I things. Even buy it? Like it's a good deal. And they had a bunch of really cute ones that I would normally be all over. But I was just like, is this even a smart idea right now?
I know.
Even if it is like a good dress, just cause where is someone gonna go in it? Yeah. Why would you wear one if you don't have to, really? Like, it's just...
Kitty.
I know. He kept...
Hi, Marco.
His little Marco. Marco, say hello. Look at me. He's like, I don't want to do this.
Wow. I love his little hands, his little socks. He says,
look at his face and get me out.
He says, I did not agree to be on camera today. Sorry.
It's okay.
Let's talk about your second channel. We haven't talked about it yet.
Yes, let's talk about your second channel.
Oh. Second channel is just kind of where we have fun.
You want to talk about your second channel? Do you not want to? Because we can just not talk about it.
Give us your elevator pitch for your second channel. What was that?
Give us your elevator pitch, like your two-minute commercial.
Well, our second channel is just if you kind of want the escape from the always talking numbers and reseller and all that type of stuff. Yeah. Because we kind of just have fun, and we've been doing like fall theme things. Like we were trying like weird fall candies, and we tried fall beers and stuff. And
that was a good one.
You know us, we react to things very dramatically.
Some of those fall candies, about damn, you're killing me.
We had to cut a part out of the fall candy video because Ryan ran into the bathroom and vomited.
I literally had to go puke. We tried.
No, you did not.
Yeah, yes, did. There's a part where we're both kind of gagging and it just cuts and suddenly we're just like sitting there again. He literally...
clearly you should have kept that in. Just like the sound effects in the back.
Right?
It was awful. It was
way more weird.
That video had so much gagging. Nasty. There are people who obviously get bothered by gagging and they were like, you should have put a warning at the beginning. Like, you know?
What did you eat?
There were Brock's Thanksgiving flavored candy corn.
There was
cranberries. It was like turkey. There was a stuffing flavored one.
Where did you find that?
Carrots.
It was at Walgreens.
Pie. It was disgusting.
I figured you were going to say it was the Bamboozle.
No, it was just as bad.
We got a spicy Bamboozled in the mail, and I'm not ready to do that.
I saw you open that. You were like, yay.
Okay. It's fun, but it's also just like.
I hope it doesn't hurt.
I'm afraid of those. I am afraid.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, the normal version is disgusting. Like,
oh, I know. The like dog food.
No thanks.
I know. I like the mint ones because it's just toothpaste. Toothpaste
is just doable compared to dog food.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, well, so hey, if that sounds riveting, I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's more just like random.
It's fun.
Stuff.
It's lighthearted.
We literally
it's
like, very relaxed. Sometimes we sit down, we need to film like a main channel video, and we're just kind of like, we need to research and we need to like get this list out. We need to like really focus and like turn our like smart brains on. But then whenever we need to film the second channel videos, it's just like fun.
We turn them off.
So like it doesn't matter. It's just kind of like, let's just film the video.
It's fun. You know, it's not as like,
and half the time we're like three glasses of wine to the wind.
You know, there's been a couple of cocktails.
Sounds like my kind of video.
Yeah, exactly.
It's fun.
Like
we
made some like skull cookies and it oh my gosh, it took so long because we made them each separately in a mini waffle iron to make them skull shaped.
It was awful.
And we had like already drank like three glasses of wine each and then started filming at like 11 and it went until like 2 a.m.
in the morning and I had a class.
And so we were just like,
I was like,
oh my gosh.
Wanted a cookie, wanted to go to bed. I had class the next morning.
Oh my gosh. It was fun though.
It was wild. I was gonna say, the cookies were good.
They sound good.
So what's the name of the channel for people who may not know what it is?
It's Jack and Ryan Valentine. So very similar.
Love it.
And we link it on every single video. So if you want to find it, you can just.
And you guys still have your second closet?
Yes, we do.
We do. The poor second closet.
We haven't really restocked it in a while because we've been crazy busy.
We've been so busy trying to keep our main closets up and functioning that the second closet's kind of taken a back burner.
Yeah.
Two main closets, a second closet, and two YouTube channels.
No big deal.
You guys,
it's a lot.
You have a lot on your plate.
Project Town, trying to get everything, you know, listed.
Yeah.
Ooh, it's definitely a lot. Yeah. But she's still there. She's just taking her time. You know, she's taking a nap right now.
Yeah.
You won't wake her up.
She's going at her own pace.
Yeah, you know, she is. She's taking her sweet time. You know, she's enjoying the fall.
Well, I have to say, you two are very inspiring and very motivating. You guys do so many different things out there. And it's nice to see.
Hey, you guys are so fun. I love you. The energy you bring to my Instagram feed and my daily life is invigorating. I love it. It's so much fun.
Yeah, and it's nice that it's brought so many of us together that we would have never met, right? Yeah. None of us would have ever met. And Lori's close to me, and I would have never met her if it wasn't just on Instagram. So
crazy.
Yeah.
you know, and it's nice to form these relationships. And even though we may be far apart, we still get to come together in different ways. And it's just nice to bounce different ideas off of each other. If I have a question, I go to Ryan or Jack, I'm like, hey, I've never heard of this. Have you ever sold it? You know, it's just nice to have those relationships. And I think that's the beauty of the reselling community is that we're all pretty tight knit, which is nice. You know, there's of course a little competition.
I'm going to meet you guys. Or I'm going to fly out to Minnesota just to go thrifting.
Yes, just to go thrifting.
The Twin Cities in the spring are beautiful. In the fall, they're so pretty.
I've never.
Even at winter.
Winter's a little cold, but there's no ice up here.
It's just a lot of snow.
I know, it's just cold and snowy.
Yeah.
But that's okay.
That's not bad.
Oh, it's not bad.
It gets cold and icy here.
Very icy here. Very, very icy. Yeah. Well, thank you too so much for coming on Thrifters Villa. I hope you guys had
thank
fun.
Thank you for having us. It's been so much fun.
So much fun chatting with you guys. We love you. And thanks for letting me crash today.
Of course.
Yeah.
Whenever you want.
All right, guys. I hope you have a delicious Chipotle dinner.
Me too.
We will.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks,
bye.
Everyone.
Bye. Bye.